The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 62, Interval, by Robert Essen. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your director, Harry W. Junkin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Interval, a new play by a new author named Robert Essen, for whom we forecast great things. Also in the soon-to-be-famous category is a young actor named Stephen Gethers, who, after little more than a year in New York, is already playing regularly on leading network shows. Here, then, is Stephen Gethers, playing the very difficult role of Norman Carroll in Interval by Robert Essen, Attraction 62 on Radio City Playhouse.
My face was turned to the ground, and the sweat was pouring into the black dirt. I wanted to stay there forever and sleep. And then I thought of Mary, and the ground seemed further away, and I knew I was crawling. Then I heard him behind me. In the half-gray dawn, I saw the shadow of his arm come up, rising slowly. I knew it was over. I was dying. Down through the woods, 100 feet away, was the highway. But they would never find me. It was ended. Only yesterday it began. When Anthony Pentland, our general manager, asked me to come to his office during my lunch hour.
Come in. Ah, Mr. Carroll, come in, come in. Sorry to break into your lunch hour, Carroll, but it was important. Sit down. Now, when a man has been with us as long as you have, Carroll, what is it, 6 years? We like to, well, show our appreciation whenever we can. We like your work. You've done a good job.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pentland.
It's not always easy holding responsibility. Sometimes it's a great strain. We've learned to be very grateful to those who back us up, give us the kind of support you've given us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pentland. I've tried to do my best.
We appreciate that. And when an opportunity arises for us to show our appreciation, our confidence, we pass it along to those who've earned it.
What is it you're trying to tell me, Mr. Pentland?
We've singled you out for an extremely important job, Carroll.
Job? What sort of job, sir?
A trip to the Western office. Is there any reason you couldn't make it?
Yes, there is. My wife.
She's sick?
She's expecting a child.
Oh, congratulations, I'm sure. I didn't mean for it to sound like an expedition, Carol. It'd be a matter of a few days. Nothing more.
Well, I understand that, but I'd like to ask her about it.
Yes, I wish there were time.
What do you mean?
This isn't an ordinary assignment. It's a matter of extreme urgency and has to have immediate attention. I wanted to handle it myself, but Mr. Barrow refused to be without me even for the few days it'll take. He told me to choose the best man in my department. And I've made this choice.
Well, it's kind of you to say that, but...
Our Western office is in trouble, Carol. Serious trouble. There are documents we've been holding in our master files they've got to have right away. And if they don't get them, it can very well mean the end of every operation west of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, well, I just don't understand, Mr. Pentland. What could possibly
be... The details needn't concern you, Carol. I'm simply telling you that these documents must be in our Los Angeles office by 3 o'clock Wednesday. You are to deliver them personally to Alex Sedley.
Wednesday? Oh, that's barely 3 days away.
And that's why it's imperative you leave tonight.
But I haven't made any arrangements. I'd like to speak to my wife about
it. The arrangements have been made for you. You have a compartment on a train leaving Grand Central at 6. I'm sorry you won't have time to get home first. You'll have to say goodbye to Mrs. Carroll on the telephone.
Well, the whole thing is so sudden,
There'll be a handsome bonus. $1,000.
$1,000?
This means a great deal to us, Carroll. A great deal. And we want it to mean something to you. We've been watching you for some time, Mr. Barrow and I. And now you tell me you've a child on the way. It wouldn't be a bad idea to help us out.
Yes, you're right, of course. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Good. Now listen very carefully. This key opens a checking locker in Grand Central waiting room. The locket number is on the key. You find your ticket inside with some cash to cover expenses and a small black satchel. The satchel is what goes to Sedley.
Why is it being kept down there, Mr. Pentland?
We thought it best, Carroll. It's not safe here, out of our master files.
Seems funny, a firm like ours holding anything that important in a locker in Grand Central, doesn't it? Sounds almost like a conspiracy.
We do a great deal of conspiring in these offices. It's what keeps us here.
Yes, sir.
One thing more, Carroll. You're to say nothing about this from now on, not to your secretary or anyone else. And once on your way, you're not to communicate with me at this office or Sedley in Los Angeles. As far as the entire organization is concerned, you're out sick a few days.
Why? And Mr. Pentland, there are things about this I just don't understand.
You're not being paid to understand. You're being paid to get that satchel out of New York.
I'm not sure I like doing things that way.
There are times, Mr. Norman, when we have to trust the experience of people older than ourselves. Mr. Barrow and I have been in business a great many years. And if we didn't feel the situation required the strictest confidence, we wouldn't ask it. Do you honestly think we don't know what we're doing?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, don't you trust me?
Of course I trust you, Mr. Pentland.
Then be kind enough to have a little faith in my methods.
Yes, sir.
You've had lunch?
I didn't have time.
Oh, entirely my fault. Take time off this afternoon.
Thanks. Cigarette?
I don't smoke, thank you.
I didn't think so, but I saw the butt in your ashtray.
There was somebody here before you. Ridiculous affectation. Gold-tipped cigarettes. Well, Carol, that's all.
Yes, Mr. Pentland.
And remember, you're to tell nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Hello, darling.
Hi, hon.
Mary, I've got to go away for 3 or 4 days. It's all rather sudden. I can't go into a lot of details, but...
Away? When?
Tonight. 6 o'clock.
Tonight?
Yes. Listen, Mary, throw some stuff in a bag, shaving stuff, a couple of shirts. Meet me at the information desk in Grand Central as much before 6 as you can.
But why tonight, Norman? Couldn't they have given you a little notice?
Darling, will you get down to Grand Central as soon as you can?
Well, I won't have much time. I'll leave right away.
At the information desk. And Mary, put my...
Yes?
No, never mind.
What?
Never mind. Get going, will you, darling?
All right, Norman. Goodbye.
For some ridiculous reason, I'd been going to ask her to put my gun in my bag. I owned an old service revolver. I didn't ask her because it... Well, it seemed so ridiculous, and I didn't want to frighten her. I didn't want to give her this strange, suspicious feeling that something was wrong. I went to Grand Central, to the locker off the main waiting room. I collected the cash, and the ticket, and the small black satchel. As I was opening the door of the locker, I looked down and saw a gold-tipped cigarette with the ash still burning. I shut the locker and went out to the information desk to wait for Mary. It was 6:10.
Over here.
Darling, I... Oh, Mary.
What is it, Norman? Something's wrong, isn't it? There's something wrong with all this.
I think I'm being followed.
What's it all about? Darling, what's going on?
I've got to deliver this satchel to Sedley in the Los Angeles office. Templin said it was vitally important and very confidential. He's giving me a bonus of $1,000.
$1,000?
Well, it's worth it. Lord knows we'll be able to use it.
$1,000? Norman, that's wonderful. As long as you're not doing anything...
Templin's the general manager. It has to be all right. Now listen.
Yes?
If the train stops, I'll phone you. If it doesn't, I'll send you a telegram. Now, if you haven't heard from me by 12 o'clock tonight, telephone Barrow. Tell him where I am and what I'm doing. I'm sure it's okay, but...
But what?
What's so darn mysterious?
What makes you think you're being followed?
I just have a hunch. If you don't hear from me by midnight, phone Barrow.
Norman, don't go.
$1,000, honey.
Don't go.
Oh, baby, don't get upset. I'll be all right. Just think of that $1,000.
I wish you wouldn't go. Can't you open the satchel and see what's in it?
I'd have to break the lock. I've got to go, honey. I'll be all right. I better get on that train or I'll miss it. Bye, honey. Hey, you feel all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Be careful, Norman. Please, be careful.
As soon as the train began moving, I went into the diner. I decided I'd turn in right after dinner. And then I remembered. I couldn't go to sleep until I got in touch with Mary. After dinner, sitting all alone in the compartment made me nervous. I picked up the satchel and started for the club car. A drink was what I needed.
Oh, Porter, which way is the club car?
Next forward, sir.
Do we stop anywhere tonight around 11 or 12?
We stop at Syracuse at 11:40.
For how long?
10 minutes, sir.
Thanks. Excuse me. Is anybody sitting here?
No. Help yourself. Pardon, son.
What? Oh, yes?
I've been watching you. Anything wrong?
No, not a thing.
Oh, sorry. None of my business.
Well, that's all right.
I always get chatty with people in trains. I can't help it. Reading too long makes my head ache.
Oh?
May I buy you a drink?
Well, sure. Thanks very much.
If I can catch that waiter's eye.
He'll be down this way in a minute.
I'm sorry if I asked you if anything was wrong. None of my business.
That's all right.
You just looked nervous. Had a feeling you wanted to talk it over with somebody.
I haven't anything to talk over.
You young men always have things to talk over. Get in your head, career, marriage. Now, when you get to be my age, well, you don't care so much. You relax.
Now, you make me feel like 16.
The cares of the world on your shoulders?
Yeah, something like that.
What's that waiter doing? Excuse me, I'll go hustle him up.
I watched him down the length of the car, and I was glad he was coming back. He had iron gray hair, well built, solid looking, kind looking. Only a face, a stranger, but somebody to listen. Somebody had to know what was happening. I couldn't be alone any longer because I knew what I was carrying now and why I was being followed.
Here we are. 2 scotch and water. Hope that's all right. I forgot to ask you.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks. Thanks very much.
Not at all.
And I've changed my mind. There's something I do want to tell you.
Well, not like that, son. Give me a minute to sit. And you take a good swallow of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I need it. I don't know whether you've ever worked around a lot of money. Or they handle thousands of dollars every day. Well, after a while, you stop thinking about it as the stuff that pays rent and buys food. It's just so many bundles of paper. Figures that have to balance. Or you can work with it for years. It'll never mean anything else. And one day it hits you all of a sudden. Maybe because your wife needs a coat or you've got a kid on the way. And these bundles could change your whole life. And you stop it right away. You put it out of your mind because it's dishonest. But mostly because you know you couldn't get away with it.
Drink your drink, son.
Yeah. Then you start to wonder about the ones that could get away with it. There are just a few in any business that the checks and the balances and locks and guards wouldn't touch. Not for a while. They don't have to answer to anybody for a while. They wouldn't need much time. Only enough to get it together and out of the state. They wouldn't even have to leave their office. There are lots of lackeys who cross the country for a bonus. Lots of them.
Go on.
Well, there's only one thing wrong. Whoever carries it, unless he's a complete fool, sooner or later he's going to catch on. He may not even have to open it. He just has a hunch. Perhaps because of the way it was given to him. Perhaps because the man he works... Say, I'm talking too much.
Oh, that's all right, son. Don't understand quite what you mean, but it's all right.
All of a sudden, I'm terribly tired. I'm groggy, even. I think I'll turn in.
All right.
Thanks for the drink. It was nice. Hey.
What's that?
That must have been some drink.
Your briefcase.
What?
Your satchel. Don't forget it.
Huh? Oh, no.
You'd like me to walk back to your compartment with you? Hmm?
No, I... Well, maybe, if you wouldn't mind. I feel sort of funny.
Come on. I'll help you. Lean on my arm.
There, please. Oh, Mr. Barrow, this is Mary Carroll. Mrs. Norman Carroll. I'm terribly sorry to disturb you so late, but I'm worried about my husband. Did you know he'd gone on a trip tonight? Yes. To Los Angeles. Yes. Mr. Pentland asked him to deliver something. Well, I don't know what it was, but Norman thought he was being followed. Well, I don't know, but I'm terribly worried. It all seems so strange and mysterious. Mr. Pentland said he'd get a $1,000 bonus. Yes. You didn't? Well, Norman said if I didn't hear from him by 12 o'clock, I was to telephone you. It's just 12 now. What? Show his hand. What do you mean? Waiting for what? Well, I think you've waited too long.
Porter, wake up.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My friend in compartment B is sick. Very sick. I want to get him off this train. When's the next stop?
Chicago, sir.
No stop before then?
We make an operational stop at South Bend in a few minutes.
Yes, I thought you did. Will you help me get my friend off the train?
Well, yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
For a long time, there'd been nothing. I thought I was in an automobile. I felt as though I'd been riding for miles. When I opened my eyes, it came back. He had his eyes on the road. It was just barely light, but it was light enough to see the cigarette between his lips. A cigarette with a gold tip. A hot, sick feeling came up from my stomach. You. All along, you.
That's right.
You, all along.
You shouldn't have figured it out. I wouldn't have had to do this if you'd let things alone.
I was right.
Oh, yes. All the way down the line.
You don't think it's going to work, do you? There are too many holes. Even I saw through it after a while.
It'll work.
I've been with him 6 years. Nobody will ever believe I stole that money.
Pentland's been with him 15. And he'll be there when they find out somebody's lifted 850,000. You won't be. You took a train ride with a black satchel.
They'll look for me.
Sure they'll look. And they'll find you. Sooner or later. In the woods or an alley. Like tramps did it. You know? You'll have the empty satchel. They won't look any further.
I don't suppose it would do any good to tell you that my wife's expecting a baby.
I've been paid to do a job. All right. Get out.
Out of Chicago. About 6 a.m, they said. 2 men got off, and the one that looked like Norman was being carried. Carried? Well, I don't know. What if the police have to come from Chicago? Well, call me back, will you, the moment you know. All right. Oh, Norman. Norman, where are you?
Cabin. Dark. Under heavy woods. I felt the cold hardness of steel in my back. All the way down the buried path to the broken door. Then we stopped. He didn't say anything. He waited. As if he wasn't sure. I tried to turn. I wanted to speak, but I couldn't. I had to reach something human in him, but his hand closed over my face and I went sprawling like a drunk man over the leaves. For a moment, he stood over me, but I didn't move. I was blind with fear. I couldn't move. Then he left me and went into the cabin with a black satchel. Not yet, then. A minute longer? 5 minutes? How long would it take to count $850,000? How long before he came back to finish the job? Why hadn't he shot me then? I didn't know. I couldn't see. My face was turned to the ground and sweat was pouring into the black dirt and the moldy leaves. I wanted to stay there forever and sleep. And then I thought of Mary. And the ground seemed further away, and I knew I was crawling. Then I heard him behind me. From the half-gray dawn, I saw the shadow of his arm come up, rising. Slowly. Make them stop. Please. Please, God, make them stop. Help. Mary. Make them stop. Please, make them stop. Help. Help. Please. Stop. Please. Help.
State for you.
Officer, please phone my wife. She's expecting
you. Well, you're going to be a little late. Come on, hang on to me. We got to get you to a hospital.
Please, phone Mary. She's expecting a baby.
I've just heard Radio City Playhouse Attraction 62, Interval, by Robert Essen. Stephen Gathers starred as Norman Carroll. Other members of the cast were Marilyn Erskine, Barry Thompson, Tom Collins, and Bill Lipton. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company by Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week, Local Storm, a story of a woman in terror and of the effect this terror had on her life. We hope you'll join us to hear Ann Elsner in Local Storm next week, Attraction 63 on Radio City Playhouse. Good afternoon, everybody.
What's on NBC tonight? Theater Guild on the Air presents Ray Milland and Margaret Phillips in The Enchanted Cottage, the poignant story of two lovers who see each other not as they are, but as they'd like to be. Listen to Ray Milland and Margaret Phillips on Theater Guild on the Air tonight on NBC. Fred Collins speaking, and now stay tuned for James Melton and Harvest of Stars on NBC.